On today's episode of Engage, Rich Wheeler, chairman of the negotiating committee, and Ian Turner of the scheduling committee, here's your host, Ryan Argenta.
Welcome back to another episode of Engage. Today, I'm with Ian Turner. He's the vice chairman of the scheduling committee, and Rich Wheeler, the chairman of the negotiating committee. And today, we're talking voluntary airport standby. That's VAS, or as we're going to call it, VAS periods. Rich and Ian, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
You bet. So we're talking these VAS periods, voluntary airport standby. It was available in the November of 2023 bid packages. It's been a slow rollout, but here we are. And they're starting to gain some steam. Ian, give me a general overview of voluntary airport standby. How does it work? Who would want this? Who would sit? And just an overview of how it works.
Sure. So a VAS period is going to be up to a two-day rotation. It's going to be planned as a two-day rotation, but you'll show up as a one-day to start. It's a six-hour period where you basically have to sit at the airport and sit airport reserve to pay a minimum of $8.15 a day as a line holder. As a reserve pilot, it'd be $5.15 towards the guarantee plus three above the guarantee of pay no credit. If you get assigned two-day flying, then it's obviously doubled. We can talk about green slip stuff later where it would double some stuff even more. But essentially, you're available for 6 hours to do any flying that the company sees necessary for you that is out of the reroute queue or 23O, which is less than 18 hours to report.
Again, it can't be forced on anybody. It's voluntarily awarded through the PCS system or PBS, because they could publish them in bid packages, although the company has said they're not intending to publish VAS periods in the bid packages. So you'd likely see this in open time. It would look like a regular rotation with a prefix V, and you can pick it up through the normal channels. If you're a regular line holder, that would be a white slip or potentially a green slip, which is fun stuff we'll get into in a second. If you're a reserve pilot, you can also pick it up via yellow slip. It sounds like you have to have 2 days of availability on your schedule for that. And then it's essentially a predefined availability period that's 6 hours long that has to be sat or performed on the airport property, whatever that means to you. How are we tracking so far?
That's all correct, especially the airport property. That is the key feature.
And from there, you now are awarded this VAS period. Let's say it starts at 8 a.m. It goes for 6 hours. So you show up on airport property for your start time at 8 a.m. and you're just walking around eating ice cream and checking your phone. You may or may not get a rotation assigned during that period. They have to assign a rotation that parts within that 6 hour period.
So the rotation itself has to depart within that 6 hour period. So it's not a short call where they can give you 2 hours of notice. They could give you 15, 20 minutes of notice. Obviously, get to the gate whenever you get to the gate. Don't rush anything, but it has to be scheduled to depart during that 6 hour period.
And I want to get into the nuts and bolts here in a second. But before we go there, maybe we go to Rich for this one. So from the negotiating standpoint, this is obviously a very new feature to us, to Delta pilots. It's also new for the company. So how did we get here? Where did VAS periods come from? Did we want them as pilots? Did the company want them? Was this kind of a mutually beneficial enhancement, if you will? Take me down that path, please.
Sure. One of the issues of quality of life that were identified going into contract 2019 was dealing with reroutes. Reroutes are the bane to everybody's existence. And the way reroutes worked previously, there were complications. There was certainly the pay tracking for the old 23L4 note. And there was also the fact that a lot of people were being rerouted. And the reason for that is there is a gap in the way that trips can be covered. In the past, the way trips are covered that are in open time are usually done way out in the future via PCS. Of course, that's the automated system. In the past, once we got into the day prior, the manual trip coverage through the trip coverage ladders would start. And that's where you would have your long call pilots start to cover open time. And then as you got into within a couple hours of departure, you would have your short call pilots. But once you got within two and a half hours, there was no actual ability of the company to cover open legs or open trips out of open time. There was just a gap there. And that was, as it turns out, the genesis for a lot of reroutes. And so we wanted to reduce reroutes because it was a quality of life issue. The company wanted to reduce reroutes simply because that throws a huge wrench in the operation, because once you reroute a pilot off their original rotation to cover a last minute change, now you got to cover whatever it was that pilot was removed from. And it turns into a whole cascading event that turns into a big mess that everyone has to try to cover. So we were trying to identify a solution on how to reduce reroutes while covering that 2 hour period before a flight segment. And we started talking about it, and the idea for voluntary airport standby came up mutually. There is a negative connotation to some airport standby. Some of our pilots have come from regionals that had it. It was a pretty toxic situation in some of those cases. So we were very sensitive to that. So we wanted to make sure that A, they were absolutely positively voluntary. In fact, if somebody goes and reads through 23EE, they'll see a lot of redundant phrases that basically say voluntary airport standby is voluntary. We wanted to make sure that point was made very clear. And also we wanted to make it as attractive to pilots as possible, so folks would go ahead and pick up these time periods. And it, as Ian explained, that they can be quite lucrative. And so really, we've engineered this to cover that 2 hour period that's right prior to departure. We also weaved in protection from reroute into VASP periods, and that they have to use VASP periods, our pilots who are sitting VASP period, prior to rerouting another pilot. And you can see that in 23L when you go through 23L. And you can also see that in, as Ian said, through 23O, talks about using VASP periods prior to rerouting a pilot. Of course, the wrinkle with voluntary airport standby, as you pointed out, both line holders and reserve pilots can bid these. That is uncharted territory for Delta. The way our working agreement works, it's either you were a reserve pilot or you're a regular pilot, and never the, you don't cross the streams on that. However, since both reserves and regular pilots can utilize these, we really had to go in and spend a lot of time kind of cutting the jigsaw puzzle piece to fit inside the puzzle. And so that's why you see it touching a lot of different sections of the contract.
Okay. And so it sounds as if there is a pilot serving a VASP period in a particular category. They cannot reroute a pilot in that same category.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's under 23L. Is if a VASP pilot is available, then a pilot in the same category can't be rerouted until they utilize that VASP pilot.
Okay. That makes sense. And we talked about the voluntary aspect of it, right? And so reserve and regular pilots are eligible to bid and pick up these trips. They can't be forced on anybody or assigned, if you will. And then it sounds like you've made it attractive for pilots to do that. And so maybe now is a good time to get into kind of the fun stuff, the nuts and bolts and the pay treatment. So maybe we go back to Ian and we can use me as an example. What I'd like to do is walk through how I would know a VASP period's available and then how I go in and get an award as a regular pilot and a reserve. And then let's walk through the what ifs.
Okay. Let's say you're a regular pilot. You're looking through your categories open time. You'll see a V001, but any number connotation. It just has to start with a V, like you said earlier. And you'll see that in open time, you'll submit a white slip for that. And we'll say you get awarded that. So it's going to be V001, have a 6 hour period. So that's your 6 hour report period or your airport period. And you'll be at the airport to start that 6 hour period. So how it's going to show in open time, it's going to show is worth 515, but that's really 515 plus the 3 hours for the VASP period. If you fly a 1 day trip, you're going to get paid 515 plus the 3 hours. But if you flew a long turn or something like that on the 1 day where it's worth 7 hours, you get 7 hours instead of 515 plus three. And then same thing if you get routed into a 2 day trip, because you have to be available for 2 days. So you could get a 2 day trip. And if it's worth a minimum of 1030, you'd get 1030 plus 6 hours for, since that'd be 3 hours for each day. And same example of earlier, if you flew more, so if you flew 12 hours worth of that, you'd get 12 hours plus the 6 hours for the VASP period. And you would also get any EDP sit pay as well if any rotation you flew had that. One of the key features of this is that you are released once you transit back to your base or the second calendar day, whichever happens first.
Okay, so there are a lot of numbers flowing around, but this is going to cost the company a lot of money, and this is going to be a good financial benefit incentive, if you will, for pilots to voluntarily go to the airport and sit these VAS periods. Because of the two-day limitation, it sounds largely like this is a domestic-only feature. This wouldn't quite work with the wide bodies with three-day Europe or Asia trips, right?
Correct. I think the only time you might ever see it on a wide body is in the winter lull months when they're doing some domestic flying. But other than that, it's going to be domestic rotations. We see it a lot on the 320, some on the 73, some on the ER.
Yeah. And so going back, so I'm looking through open time, I'm surfing, I see V123 as a rotation in open time. I'm like, all right, let's try this out. I'm a regular line holder. I put in a white slip for V123 departing tomorrow, starting at 8 a.m. It's a 6-hour period. And I'm awarded. So normal steps of coverage, if somebody senior to me put in for it, they're going to get it. But let's say it comes to me. Now it's on my line, V123. I see 515 ADG on my time card for that day initially. But I know that I'm going to get an extra 3 hours pay no credit, which is the phrase that pays, right, Rich? On top of that. So now the next day, it's approaching 8 a.m., I go to, let's say, the Salt Lake Airport. I'm on airport property. I'm doing my thing. Perhaps the company's goal is to assign me flying. Perhaps my goal is to sit around for 6 hours and then go home and get that pay. Let's say option two happens. So I'm on airport property and it's approaching 2 o'clock. I'm now released and I go home, right?
Yep. And you collect your 8:15 for the day.
Done. And the flip side of that is now I'm into my VAS period. And again, I'm doing laps around the airport or I'm sitting in the pilot lounge having lunch. And now I get a call and it says, hey, go to gate A16. Here's your 2-day rotation. And it actually departs in 15 minutes. Okay. I pack up my stuff. I walk down to the gate and get on the flight and get on with it. And you mentioned a couple of different things, but for simplicity, let's say this is a 2-day rotation. It's pretty simple. And so that's worth 10 and a half hours for the 2 days. And then I get the 3 hours on top of that, pay no credit for each day. So that would become effectively a 16 and a half hour 2-day, plus all the other extra pay treatments that are contractual, like sit pay, extended duty pay, reroute pay, if anything like that on top. But essentially would be a 16 and a half hour 2-day trip from a VAS period.
Yep, at a bare minimum.
At a bare minimum. Okay. And then same scenario now, I'm a reserve pilot and I have 2 days of availability. Now there's a caveat, right? Because you can sit a VAS period on your on-call days.
You can sit a VAS period on call days and on X days. You just have to submit a yellow slip to be available on X days to do it on X days. If you're going to yellow slip, green slip's a different story.
Okay, so I'm a reserve pilot. Let's say I'm on X days and I want some extra bang. So I see V123 in open time. I put in now a yellow slip for my off days and I'm awarded V123. Same process, go to the airport, 8 a.m. start time, do my thing. That 515 ADG will now go towards, that's not in my pocket, right? That goes towards my reserve guarantee, but the 3 hours pay no credit is above the guarantee. Is that correct?
So yeah, your 515 for the original portion will be paying credit, even though it's on a next day. It's just like yellow slipping flying on a next day. The 3 hours will be pay no credit on top of your guarantee. The caveat for reserve pilots also is if they sit a VAS period, whether they're used or not, they're going to get a short call credit for it. So that will help them out too. If they want to max their short calls, they get a short call credit no matter if you're used or not.
Okay, that's a good feature. So you could use this strategically as a reserve pilot, whether you live in base or you commute, you see a VAS period in open time, you can use that to your advantage. And then the same thing applies if you are a reserve pilot, you get the 515 towards your reserve guarantee, the 3 hours above the guarantee. And that's for each of the 2 days if you're used. And if you're used, and back to that same example, you get a 2-day worth 10 and a half hours, the 10 and a half hours would still go towards your reserve guarantee. However, the 3 hours for each day, six total, would be above the guarantee.
That's correct.
And so this could be pretty lucrative if you're a senior enough reserve pilot where you can do this a couple times in a month, right? If the guarantee is 75 hours, you get six above the guarantee for a two-day trip, and you do this two or three times, you're getting up there for the reserve.
Yeah, I think this is one of those provisions that's a win for everybody because, Rich said earlier, it prevents pilots from being rerouted, and it's also pretty lucrative pay-wise, even if you're a regular or a reserve pilot.
We touched on this, but if the company puts it into open time, right, they obviously want that period to be set. So if nobody volunteers for it, or let's say they it's sitting in open time and nobody puts in a white slip or a yellow slip for it, can they proffer it as a green slip? Is that even conceivable?
Absolutely. And we've already seen some go out as green slips. So the big takeaway from that, yeah, it's going to be expensive for the company, but they're usually posting these in open time the day before or day of, mainly the day before. They want these covered, so they're going to cover them. So we have seen them go out as green slips.
Yeah, I do want to draw attention to, I'm referencing the scheduling alert 23-17. I'm going to link it to the description of this podcast, but it steps through all the fun pay treatments. It talks about being available on airport property. So everything we're talking about is in the scheduling alert. So as a regular line holder and I'm awarded B123 via green slip, then I'm going to get 515 times two plus the 3 hours, not times two, for that period sat. And then anything I fly would be double pay plus the 3 hours plus all the pay treatments. And then the same reserve could get this on a green slip. And that would be the same pay treatment to getting a green slip on reserve.
Yeah. So if a reserve pilot gets it on a green slip on an X day, that 515 is above the guarantee. So they'll get 815 above the guarantee on an X day, or if it's less than 18 hours to report on an on-call day.
Very good. Again, lots of numbers being thrown around here. You can reference it in that scheduling alert, which is linked. But yeah, this seems like it could be lucrative for both the company and for pilots. And it gives you that extra level of flexibility to make some money. And if you're a reserve pilot, use it strategically.
Yeah. And a reserve pilot, you would also get a payback day because you'd get your X day back.
For the green slip.
Correct.
What other stipulated, like what kind of cautions would you give to pilots for these VAS periods? Are there any downfalls, any gotchas? Are we seeing anything that's just odd? Are the trips that are being awarded through this process on the up and up, or are we seeing some weird stuff?
I think it's a combination of everything like we always see. I can't think of any downside to it other than if you're a commuter, you have to actually go sit at the airport. The big takeaway, like I said earlier, is you have to actually be on the airport property for this VAS provision. What we are seeing is there's flying, there's two buckets of flying, right? So there's the reroute queue, which is not flying in open time, which typically that comes from, let's say a pilot has an early morning departure out of an outstation, that delays a long time, they get rerouted. Those subsequent legs during that same duty period go into what's called the reroute queue, and that can be assigned to a VAS pilot. Also, there's section 23O, which is the steps of coverage for flying less than 18 hours. And the key feature in that is that green slips always go before VAS flying on 23O. So we're seeing pilots get assigned flying and calling scheduling and saying, hey, this didn't get called as a green slip. This was not flying that I should be doing on a VAS. If that flying came out of the reroute queue, it does not have to go into open time. So the big takeaway is if you see flying legs in open time and you're assigned it on a VAS and it's not sent out as a green slip, that is incorrect. That has happened occasionally. I would say that's the exception, not the rule. But don't just think that because there was no green slip calls that you're not supposed to be doing that flying on a VAS.
Okay, understood. Yeah, two different pots. And this is really to prevent the reroute. So you may be getting something that you're not going to see in open time or through the normal steps of coverage. I don't want to get too much in the weeds on this, but I think it's important to highlight that if you are awarded a VAS period, right, and we're going back to that example of V123 is now on your line, if you're a regular line holder, that's essentially a two-day rotation on your schedule. And now, for practical purposes, they've assigned this the day before or the day of, so there's not much flexibility there. However, if for some reason you got this through the PBS award or you had more time, you can essentially treat this like a regular rotation. You can swap with the pot into and out of. You could do a pilot to pilot swap. You could even friend swap this to your buddy's line if he or she has that availability. You can drop it via the normal if there's reserve coverage. IBDs, APDs, all these things apply to this now 2-day rotation, right?
Yeah. And also, we didn't want to restrict pilots, right? Because it shows up as 1 day until you get assigned actually 2 days of flying. So let's say you pick up rotation, the V123 for tomorrow, but then you see a 1 day trip you want to fly 2 days out. You can still white slip that trip. And if you don't get assigned any flying on the VAS, you can do that 1 day in addition to your VAS period. But if you get assigned 2 days of flying on the VAS period, that trip is wiped out and there's no pay protection for it. It's just another way for pilots to be able to maximize their pay if they want to.
Okay. So you can roll the dice doing that. Just understand if you get awarded that flying from the VAS period, it'll trump that white slip on the second day.
Yeah. And you can also even submit a recovery slip for a VAS period.
Okay. So all the things apply. We'll leave it at that, right? All the things apply to a rotation. Pretend that it's a rotation. V123 is a 2-day and you go through the mechanics of that. Very good. Anything else you want to add, Rich, Ian, about the voluntary airport standby?
Yeah, Ryan, the important takeaway on VAS periods is they were not designed to cover open time. They were designed for a very specific reason, and that's to cover that 2-hour prior to departure to avoid a pilot getting rerouted. Really, this is the all of a sudden you get delayed or hung up and they're going to put you on a turn to Charleston or Savannah or Grand Rapids to just get that turn covered, get you back to your base. And that's why the restrictions in 23EE work the way they do, is if you just do an out and back, when you get back to your base, you are done. You were just released. That's all they can do. There is a very small cut out there that allows them to, maybe you're going to come out and you're going to cover a quick overnight. You're going to come out to Detroit. You're going to do the late night flight to Traverse City, do the 10-hour layover and come back in the morning. And then done. So that was really the flying that VAS periods were designed. Now, of course, under the rules, they can do a little bit more than that. The big takeaway is that it was designed to prevent reroutes and beneficial both to the pilot and flying covered, but it wasn't designed to take away from your traditional open time, which is why VAS periods come much later in the coverage ladder, such as after green slip. So we wanted to make sure we didn't poach any of that lucrative flying that pilots like to do via green slips.
Very good. Sounds like a viable option for both the company and for pilots. We'll see how it goes, right? Try it out and send your feedback to the scheduling committee via the ACE for Unions app. They don't accept darts. Don't go down that path. But yeah, play around with the voluntary airport standby. Ian Turner, Vice Chairman of the Scheduling Committee, and Rich Wheeler, of course, the Chairman of the Negotiating Committee. Thanks for explaining this. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
You're listening to Engage, the podcast for Delta pilots. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform, and receive notifications when a new episode is available.